elders and brothers, when we look at this deen of Islam, then we have five fundamentals, the five pillars of Islam. The Shahada, Kalima La ilaha illallah, Iqami Salah, establishing Salah, giving of Zakah, fasting in the month of Ramadan, and Hajj of Baytullah. But remember, these five pillars make the foundation of deen. Deen is a complete building. And for that building to be complete, then you will need walls, you will need a roof, you will need windows, fixtures and fittings. And the various different aspects of deen then make up this building of Islam. So many a time, when we think of Islam, or we think of piety, then as long as a person is fulfilling these five fundamentals, then we assume that now he's on a line of piety. But this is not the entirety of deen. Rather, deen is made up of different aspects, and one of the very crucial and important aspects of deen is our akhlaq, how we deal with one another. Our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in one hadith has explained, بُعِثْتُ لِأُتَمِّمَ مَكَارِمَ الْأَخْلَاقِ, that I have been sent to perfect, to complete one's character. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is saying that I have been sent to perfect one's character. And in this aspect of akhlaq and character, then the best character needs to be shown to one's family. And from one's family, then the ultimate, the pinnacle, the highest level of akhlaq and good character needs to be shown to one's parents. We find in the Quran Majeed, many a time when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the command that worship Him alone. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings the command of Tawheed. وَعَبُدُ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُشْرِكُوا بِهِ شَيْئًا, that worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and do not ascribe any partners to Him. And immediately after the command, what is the next command? وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, that be good, be dutiful to your parents. We find in another ayat of the Quran, Sunnah Bani Israel, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقَضَى رَبُّكَ أَلَّا تَعْبُدُوا إِلَّا إِيَّاهِ, and your Rabb commands you that you worship Him alone. And immediately after that, again, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala brings, وَبِالْوَالِدَيْنِ إِحْسَانًا, and be good to your parents. So to say, after fulfilling the rights of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, then the next most important right on a person is the rights that he owes to his parents. On one occasion, a man comes to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, faqal, and he says to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, inni ashtahi al-jihad wala aqdiru alayhi, that O Nabi of Allah, I intend making jihad in your path. I intend making jihad in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but I am unable to. I do not have the means, or whatever the circumstances may have been. Is there any way for me to make jihad? Now look at the response of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. هَلْ بَقِيَ مِنْ وَالِدَيْكَ أَحَدٌ, are any of your parents alive? قَالَ أُمِّي, he says, my mother is alive. What a beautiful response. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, فَعْبِدِ اللَّهَ فِي بِرِّهَا, then please Allah, worship Allah by being dutiful to her. فَإِذَا فَعَلْتَ ذَلِكَ, when you have done that, now look at the rewards. فَأَنْتَ حَاجٌ, then you are a haji, one who has made hajj of Baytullah. وَمُعْتَمِرٌ, you are one who has made umrah in the path of Allah. وَمُجَاهِدٌ, and you are also a mujahid. You are one who is out in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by serving your parents correctly. There was a famous sahabi of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Haritha bin Nu'man radiallahu an. And he was known for his service to his mother to such an extent, she was aged, she was frail, he would bath her, he would clothe her, he would even feed her morsel by morsel. He was known for this outstanding quality of service to his mother. So it was the habit of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that after the Fajr Salah, he would sit with the Sahaba radiallahu anhum, and if he had seen some dream the night before, or some incident had taken place, then he would relate it to them, give them the different wisdoms, etc. behind it. So one morning after the Fajr Salah, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam turns to the Sahaba radiallahu anhu, and he says that last night in my dream, dakhaltu jannah, I entered Jannah. فَسَمِعْتُ فِيهَا قِرَاةً, and in Jannah, I hear the qiraat of some in this world. Understand the level Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is taking the recitation of this person's Quran. He is reciting the Quran in this world, but his Quran is being played out in Jannah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked, فَقُلْتُ مَنْ هَذَا, I asked, who is this person? Who is such an honorable person from my Sahaba that he is reciting Quran in this world, yet his Quran is being played out in Jannah? The answer came, Haritha bin Nu'man. That your companion Haritha bin Nu'man, he is reciting Quran in this world, but that Quran Majid is being played out in Jannah. And look at the response of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Kadhalikumul bir, kadhalikumul bir. This is the direct effect of the kindness and the duty which he is showing to his mother. The direct effect of the kindness and how he is fulfilling that right which his parents have over him. Abi Umama radiallahu an says, Anna rajulan qal, that a man said to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ya Rasulallah, O Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, ma haqqul walidaini ala waladihima, what rights do parents have over their children? Look at this response, Jawami ul Kalim, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, few words, but the meaning is absolutely great. Huma jannatuk wa naruk. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's response was that your parents are either your jannat or your jahannam. Meaning if you serve them correctly, then you have purchased your ticket to Jannah. And if you have fallen short in that, you have disobeyed them, then that will be a means of your jahannam. And the reason I'm speaking about this topic is that we've seen a great need in our communities for old age homes. And just to take you many, many years back, Mawlana Ummaji Rahmatullah Ali, many of you would have known him, he had even given bayans in this masjid. One of his nieces once said to him that, Mawlana, don't you think there's a need for old age homes in our community? This was going back probably about 30 or 40 years. Don't you think there's a need for old age homes in our community? And his response was, Ben, have you lost your mind? How is it possible when this deen of Islam has stressed so much about duty to parents that we're still going to find a need for old age homes in the community? It should be such that siblings are fighting to look after their parents, not fighting to say who is going to look after them. And remember, it's easy when they are young, but when they get old and now their temperaments are different, they are set in their ways, now is the true test. That's why in the Quran Majid, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, Imma yablughanna indaka al-kibra ahaduhuma aw kilahuma, that when one or both of them reach old age, فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ, do not even say to them أُفْ. In Arabic, أُفْ signals any form of discontent. In our context, click your mouth or you, so any form of shrugging them away, etc. فَلَا تَقُلْ لَهُمَا أُفْ, the command of the Quran in Majid is, do not even say to them أُفْ. And the next ayat, look how beautifully Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala links the ayat of the Quran. وَخْفِضْ لَهُمَا جَنَاحَ الذُّلِّ مِنَ الرَّحْمَةِ, and lower your wings of humility for them. Meaning humble yourselves before them. They will tell you things. It is part of old age. But this is your test. Do you want Jannah or you want Jahannam? And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَقُلْ رَبِّ ارْحَمْهُمَا كَمَا رَبَّيَانِي صَغِيرًا, and make this dua that, Ya Allah, have mercy on them just like how they had mercy on me when I was young. And this should be a dua that every child should be making for their parents on a daily basis. That, Ya Allah, have mercy for them. Ya Allah, forgive them. How much they have done for me when I was young. On the contrary, beloved brothers, if we do not fulfill these rights, if we are disobedient to our parents, then there are severe warnings in the hadith of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In one hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لَا يَدْخُلُ الْجَنَّةَ مَنَّانُ. A person who reminds people of the favors he has done for them will not enter Jannah. وَلَا عَاقٌ. And neither the one who disrespects his parents. Extremely severe. That the one who disrespects his parents will not enter Jannah. In another hadith, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, ثَلَاثَةٌ لَا يَقْبَلُ اللَّهُ لَهُمْ صَرْفًا وَلَا عَدْلًا. Three types of people. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepts neither a fard for them, neither a nafil. A person can be making umrah after umrah. He can be given as much charity as he wants. He can be performing tahajjud salah every day. But if he is disrespectful to his parents are unhappy with him, then nothing is accepted in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And from these three, the first one which Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, aqun, the one who is disrespectful to his parents. To such an extent, the fuqaha have grouped this deed of disrespect to parents amongst the kabira gunas, the major sins, like the one who commits zina, the one who deals in interest. All these are major sins. This is also grouped amongst that. And nowadays, unfortunately, we find in situations where a person wants to go for umrah, but now he got his own parents. So who's gonna take care of them? And just not too long ago, I heard of this incident where a person booked his father into hospital for 2 weeks so that he could take his family for umrah. Where is our understanding of deen? Yes, as I mentioned, it will be difficult. You will have to make some sacrifice. But remember, this is such a deed. Allah will bless you in this world as well as the next world. Anas radiallahu anhu narrates that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, مَنْ أَحَبَّ أَنْ يُمَدَّ لَهُ فِي عُمُرِهِ وَيَزَادَ لَهُ فِي رِزْقِهِ فَلْيَبَرَّ وَالِدَيْهِ. That whosoever loves that his life be increased and his rizq, his sustenance also be increased, then he should be good to his parents. There's the reward, the promise in this world. Remember, barakat lies in this. Barakat might be that you might not have abundant, but you will be able to achieve a lot with whatever you've got. Because what is the definition of barakat? Divine blessings from the unseen, which enables a person to do more with less. So a person will serve his parents correctly, he will fulfill their rights, and you see how Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will grant him barakat in his life, he'll be able to achieve a lot. And together with that, he will also have barakat in his rizq. We all have heard of Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, the second greatest Muslim, the one whom Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had said regarding, لَوْ كَانَ بَعْدِي نَبِيٌّ لَكَانَ عُمَرُ بْنُ الْخَطَّابِ. That if there was a Nabi to be after me, it would have been Umar bin Khattab radiallahu anhu. This was his rank, this was his position. Yet you find that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam explains to him that, O Umar, if you ever have a chance to meet a person by the name of Uwais bin Amir, famously known as Uwais Qarni, then you should try and meet this person. And not only that, you should also take his du'as. Imagine, he's commanding Umar radiallahu anhu, you try and meet this person, and you take his du'as. Now why did he achieve such a rank, that the Nabi of Allah is commanding his second in charge to go to this person and take his du'as? Because Uwais Qarni radiallahu anhu was alive in the time of Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And he wanted to come to Madinah Munawwara to achieve the greatest of acts, become a Sahabi of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can there be anything greater than that? Getting that divine endorsement radiallahu anhum wa radu an. This was that great act which he wanted to do. And he writes to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that it is my desire to take shahadat in your presence, but I have a mother who is aged. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sends a letter back to him that remain where you are and serve her. This was the command of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So we should think twice when a person wants to do a nafil act, that he is going to sacrifice this wajib act. He wants to do a nafil act, but he's going to sacrifice this wajib act. And what I mean by that is that he has parents who are his responsibility, who he needs to take care of. And then he wants to palm them off to some old age home. He wants to put them into hospital. He wants to give them to someone else to take care of, so that he can do all these nawafil actions like umrah, etc. Remember, understand deen in perspective. Deen is not our desires. Deen is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wants from us at every given moment. About a year back, I visited a certain old age home, Muslim old age home, and there was a lady there, and those in charge of the old age home said for the last 3 days she's been here. So they gave us a background to how she ended up in this old age home. Her children had already made arrangements with those in charge that we are coming to leave this lady here. We are not concerned, whatever the cost is, we will sort it out. But you take care of her. But the part that was extremely disgusting and hurtful was the manner in which they left their mother there. They said to her that we are going shopping, we are just going to leave you here for a few hours, and then we'll come back to pick you up. This is not some fairy tale. Wallahi, in the masjid, I'm telling you, this is genuine, this is the truth. Muslim community, our communities. And they left their mother there. When I had been there, it was 3 days had passed. Only Allah knows what curses that mother must have given. So beloved brothers, this is something extremely important. If you look at the hadith of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, مَا تَرَكْتُ بَعْدِي فِتْنَةً أَضَرَّ عَلَى الرَّجُلِ مِنَ النِّسَاءِ. The Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, I have not left any temptation more harmful to men than women. Now normally or usually muhaddithin, they explain this hadith, meaning a person falls in the trap of zina, cannot control his eyes, how a woman will tempt him. But Imam Bukhari rahmatullah alayhi, his mind was working in another way. Amazing, his intelligence. He brought this hadith under the chapter of warning someone who gives preference to his wife over his mother. Look at where he brought this hadith. That person who gives preference to his wife over his mother, meaning that just to give in to the desires of the wife and family, then you trample on the rights of your parents. I'm not saying you have to trample on the rights of your family. Do not get me wrong. But it must never be such that a person gives in to the whims and fancies of his wife and children and sacrifices that duty which he has to his parents. I'll conclude on one incident just to show you what reward and how meritorious this act of being kind to one's parents, taking care of them correctly. A man comes to Abdullah bin Abbas radiallahu anhuma, who was known as the mufassir of this ummah. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had made special dua for him. Allahumma allimhu al-Qur'an. Ya Allah, teach him the Qur'an majid. The dua of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So great understanding in deen. So he comes to him and he says that, O Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma, I have committed murder. Is there any way out for me? Ibn Abbas radiallahu anhuma thinks for a while. And then he says to the man, are any of your parents alive? He says, yes, my mother is alive. He says, then go and serve her. Perhaps Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive you. His students, baffled at this answer, after this man leaves, they ask him, that, O Ibn Abbas, why did you give such an answer? He says that I thought for a while, what could be the most virtuous act that will draw the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and in that way he will possibly be forgiven. And then I thought to myself, kindness to parents. So stressed in our deen. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to fulfill their rights upon us. Grant us the tawfiq to be kind to them, to try and do as much as we can to make them happy, to please them, and save us from ever being disobedient to them. And in conclusion, I would say, a person may ask, what about those of us whose parents have now left this world? Our parents have left this world. What can we do? Maybe we had fallen short in taking care of them. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives hope for every single situation. In the hadith of Ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he explains to a Bedouin, that one of the most virtuous deeds a person can do is that he is good to the friends of his father after he has left this world. So that's number one. We can be good to the friends of our parents, whether it be sending them gifts, visiting them, making dua for them, respecting them, honoring them. So we are good to the friends of our parents. That's the first thing. Number two is Isale Sawab. We can read some portion of the Quran Majeed, give some charity, make different ibadah, and send that reward to our parents. And the third thing is, we make time daily to make dua for them. We take our time daily to make special dua for our parents. That Ya Allah, you forgive their shortcomings. You forgive us for falling short in fulfilling their rights. So this is for those who have left, those of us whose parents have left this world. We can still do this. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given us hope. And those of us who have parents, let us honor them. Let us treasure them. Let it be that this is the means. Lastly, there shouldn't be a day that goes by that we do not remember the people of Gaza and the plight which they are undergoing. Extreme starvation, extremely difficult conditions. Daily, after every salah, we should take out at least 2 minutes of our time, make sincere dua for them, number one. Number two, whatever way we can do some form of boycott, we should do it, even if it's targeted brands, etc. At least we have something to present in the court of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Number three, in whichever way we can financially contribute as well, we should definitely try and financially contribute. And number four, let us turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in every aspect of our life. This will surely draw the rahmat of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and ease the plight. Subhanallah wa bihamdihi, subhanakallahumma wa bihamdihi.